Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Show,
your ultimate guide to everything real estate.
Whether you're a first-time buyer, a seasoned investor, or thinking about selling, we have the insights you need. Your host, Larry Shackman,
the real estate therapist and a top-producing broker, will break it down weekly.
We'll dive deep into market trends and speak with industry pros about everything from pricing and negotiation strategies and staging tips to financing options and home inspections.
This fast-paced, ever-evolving market doesn't have to be overwhelming. We are here to guide you through it. Today's show is brought to you by TrustedAgentUSA.com. Get your market value, explore your selling options, and choose your closing dates. Go to TrustedAgentUSA.com and do real estate your way. You've got options. Licensed in Illinois. Number 475-145-795. Now, let's dive in. Here's Larry.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. You are watching the real estate or listening to the Real Estate Radio Show. It's coming to you live from the virtual studios of WIIFM. What's in it for me? What's in it for you today? Joining us here on the 23rd of January, we're almost a full month into our next year. And there's a lot going on in the real estate business. We're going to get to that later in the show. We have a very special guest today. Jay Connor is the authority on private money lending. And he's going to give us peel back the onion and give us a look at what's it like to buy a real estate investment using private money, as opposed to going to a bank, using your own funds, or maybe a DSCR loan. We'll get into that a little bit. But Jay is going to really drill this down for us. And we're happy to have you here. Like I said, let's bring Jay on and get right to it. Hey, Jay.
Hey there, Larry. How are you doing today?
I am doing awesome. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for inviting me to come along. My name's Larry. I see that you are the real estate therapist. So, you know, I didn't know that I was going to get a checkup from the neck up today.
Absolutely. Have a seat on the couch. Let's get into this therapy now, because like I was saying, Jay is the authority when it comes to private money. He's been doing it for a long, long time. And Jay, where are you out of?
Yes. Yeah, so my wife, Carol Joy, and I, we live here in Eastern North Carolina, right here in Morehead City, Atlantic Beach. We're at the southern tip of the Outer Banks. And my name's Larry. We are having a historical snowstorm right now. Been over 30 years since we had this kind of snow. It started snowing night before last. It snowed till midday yesterday. We got 9 inches of snow. Our entire town is shut down. They don't even know what a snowplow is here, you know. They say it's going to be freezing for the next couple of days. But, hey, I'm here with you on the show. I'm like the postmaster, you know. We show up whether it's snowing or not.
I'll tell you something. It's crazy weather all over the country right now. I think Pensacola got like 10 inches of snow.
Woo!
Northern Florida. Just crazy stuff going on here.
Yeah. Well, they say that when we have a snow storm that comes up from the south, which this blizzard did, I mean, I've never in my life seen on my phone app, my weather app, it's got, it had flurries, and then it had like rain and snow. I had to look up what the icon meant because I'd never seen that before. I said, yep, snow blizzard is coming, but yeah, it's crazy. But you know what? Me and Carol Joy, my wife, we got 4 great big, huge bowls of snow waiting for us to make snow cream.
That's funny. Yeah. I mean, I think I was talking to a friend of mine who's in Houston, and they got about an inch of snow. And
yeah,
in Houston, you know, a tropical climate, right? You get an inch of snow and everything shuts down. And, you know, he's a Chicago boy. So he's like, yeah, you know, it's kind of funny to him because he's still going out in his shorts and stuff with an inch of snow on the ground. And everybody else is bundled up, hunkering down, no cars on the street. And I was mentioning to him, I think a lot of these southern states and other states that aren't used to getting snow are going to have to up their snow or winter IQ, if you will, because this is not going to be the end of it. This is going to happen again, I think.
Yeah. Well, and here's my advice. If you've never driven on snow before, don't.
Yeah.
Don't. Just don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, there's a lot of people in Chicago that have driven on it often and they still have trouble doing it. So yeah, don't do it. But let's jump into your background and why people should consider private money as opposed to DSCR, as opposed to going to a bank or using their own funds. Give people a little background, Jay, on how you got to where you are right now. Just a little summary.
Sure. Well, Carol Joy and I, my wife and I, we started investing in single family houses primarily. I've done condominium developments, a shopping center from the ground up, but our focus since 2003 has been investing in single family houses here in our area, Morehead City, North Carolina. And we started in 2003 full time. Since that time, we've rehabbed and flipped over 500 houses in our small area. And that was before there was any such thing as HGTV. That's before it was sexy, you know, to do that kind of thing. And so we're in a small area here, only 40,000 people, which there's an argument to be made to, you know, sort of dominate your own little market instead of competing in the big cities. But here's how private money came about. From 2003, Larry, until January of 2009, all I knew to do to get my deals funded was to go to the local bank, get on my hands and knees, put my hands underneath my chin and say, please fund my deal. And I had to pull up my skirt so the banker could look at my personal assets and give me a colonoscopy and pull my credit score and all this mess, you know. And so that worked okay. It wasn't great, but that worked okay for funding my deals. From 2003 to January of 2009. And then Larry, everything changed in January 2009. I had two houses under contract to buy and I called up my banker. His name was Steve. And I told him about my two deals that I had, you know, for him to fund, told him what the funding required was. And he said, Jay, your line of credit is closed. We're no longer loaning money out to real estate investors. I said, what in the world are you telling me, Steve, about my line of credit is closed? We've done a ton of deals in 6 years. I've always made my payments on time. I've still got a great credit score. Why are you shutting me down? And Steve said, Jay, don't you know there's a global financial crisis going on right now? I said, no, I don't know anything about a global financial crisis, but I know you just gave me a financial crisis. Because I don't have a way to fund these two deals I got under contract. And back in 2009, you couldn't get your earnest money back. You're in North Carolina. So I hung up the phone. By the way, I know you may find it hard to believe, Larry, but we still actually have handsets here in North Carolina with cords attached to them. But anyway, I picked up my phone and I sat my phone down and I sat here, Larry, and I just sort of let that noodle and digest as to what had just happened. And I sat here and I thought for a moment, and I'm going to share with you and your audience, Larry, a very important question, powerful question that I asked myself right after having that conversation with my banker. And this question that I'm going to share will help anybody fix any problem that you got going on in your life. I don't care if it's relationships, financial, career, losing your line of credit at the bank, health, I don't care what it is. This question will help fix your problem. And by the way, these people are running around saying, oh, every problem's an opportunity. I want to throw up. I didn't have an opportunity. Let's face it. I had a problem. So I ask myself this question, and here's the question. Who do I know that can help me with my problem? Powerful question. Who do I know that can help me with my problem? And when I asked myself that question, I immediately thought of Jeff Blankenship, a good friend of mine and Carol Joy's. At the time, Jeff lived in Greensboro, North Carolina. He was investing in single family houses. So I picked up the phone and I called Jeff. And I told Jeff what had just happened. And Jeff says, well, welcome to the club, Jay. I said, what club are you talking about? He said, the club of having your line of credit shut down at the bank. He said, my bank shut me down last week. I said, well, Jeff, how are you going to fund your real estate deals? He says, well, have you ever heard of private money and private lending? I said, no, I've never heard of that. What in the world is private money and private lending? He says, that's when an individual, a human being, just like you or me, will loan their money to us real estate investors, either from their investment capital and or the retirement funds, and invest in our deals. I said, okay, I never heard of that. He says, have you ever heard of self-directed IRAs? I said, no, I never heard of that. I said, what's that? He said, well, a self-directed IRA is where an individual can move their current retirement funds, if they're not happy with the returns where they have them, move it over to a self-directed IRA company, a third-party custodian, and then they can invest that funds in your real estate deal, loan that money to us, and the money that you pay them in interest will be either tax-free or tax-deferred, depending on the type of self-directed IRA retirement account they've got. I said, Jeff, I never heard what in the world you're talking about. So I studied private money. How do you do business with individuals? How do you find them? What do you say to them? So I studied it. And Larry, the first thing I did was put my program together that I was going to teach. So that's what I did. I put on my teacher hat, which says private money teacher. And I went about just teaching people in my own network, my own connections, as to what private money is and how they could earn high rates of return safely and securely without talking about any deals. And it's just teaching them. And so in less than 90 days, by taking that approach, I was able to raise $2,150,000 in new funding that I didn't have before. So my banker actually did me a favor by cutting me off. And since that time, Larry, by taking this approach, I've never missed out on a deal for not having the money.
That is awesome. So basically, you spoke with people within your sphere, if you will, yes, and who had money sitting in an IRA, maybe
or liquid investment capital,
or liquid investment, weren't happy with the returns they were getting. You educated them as to how investing in real estate through a self-directed IRA can not only get them tax benefits on the interest they'll be paying, but could make them some money investing in real estate in a passive way, correct?
100% correct. You nailed it.
So what's the benefit of a guy like me? And I'm just using me as an example. I've done some investments in my life. I've done flips, other things like that, here in the Chicagoland area and the suburbs. And but just for people tuning in or listening, what exactly is the benefit of using private money as opposed to using your own money? Let's just use that as the example initially.
Sure, sure. Well, that's a great question. I've identified actually 20 big benefits to using private money. I'm not going to go over all 20, but I'm going to go over the big ones, the big ones. And these are in no particular order. So first of all, when you're using private money and you're putting on your teacher hat and you're teaching people about this opportunity, here's what's interesting, Larry. I've got 47 private lenders right now funding our deals. And by the way, if you're listening to this show, you don't need 47 private lenders. You just need to start out with one or two, like I did. My very first private lender invested $500,000 in my deal. So you don't need 47. But here's what's interesting. Not one of them had ever heard of private money. Not one of them had ever heard of private lending. Not one of them had ever heard of self-directed IRAs and how they can use their retirement funds. Over half of our private lenders are using their retirement funds. So here's the first benefit. The first benefit is you as the borrower, you as the real estate investor, guess what? You make the rules. You know, the conventional way to borrow money is the person that's lending the money makes the rules. That's not the case in this world, because you see, you're offering an opportunity. Instead of applying for a mortgage, you're offering the opportunity. So there's no applications. Hey, I got great news. You as the borrower are already approved. There's no approval process. There's no credit score. Your credit score has got nothing to do with it. Appraisals has got nothing to do with this world, because you see, you make the rules. Now I say you might as well just duplicate what I offer. It seems to have worked pretty good since 2009 and still does. But we set the interest rate. I've been paying my private lenders 8%, no points, no origination fees, no extension fees, a straight 8% ever since 2009, regardless of what the market is doing, going up and down. So we set the interest rate. You set the interest rate. We set the length of the note. We set the frequency of payments. We set what's the maximum loan to value as far as after repaired value. So that you here's a writer downer. Here's a writer downer. You are the underwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Not the lender.
Mm-hmm.
Not the lender. You are the underwriter because you're putting together the terms and the rules. So that's number one. It puts you in control, right? So you're in control of the terms. Secondly, and again, these are in no order. Secondly, you always get to bring home a big check when you buy a property without taking any of your own money to the closing table. Now, that always works if you are buying a distressed single family home and you want to renovate it. Because if you're buying a distressed single family home, you're going to be able to buy it at a significant discount. Mm-hmm. They're not able to put it in the multiple listing service and sell it. In fact, all my deals for the past four years have come from for sale by owners. So since I'm buying it at a discount, I'm always able to borrow more than I need to purchase the house and get my renovation money up front if it needs rehab. So think about your cash flow. You don't have to take any money to your closing to the closing table and always bring them a big check. Here's my question. Who wants to get paid to buy houses and take none of your own money to the closing table? So it helps your cash flow. Thirdly, there's no limit to the number of private lenders you can do business with. So as a result, there's no limit to the amount of money you can borrow. You know, when I was borrowing money from the banks, there was a limit to my line of credit. Well, in this world, there is no limit. What's another big benefit? Fast closings. All my lands, all my offers, I make that you can close within 7 days. Seven days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't do that with conventional money. And so the reason that's so important is you'll get more of your offers accepted by the seller because you can close fast. Now, a lot of these, I'm going to give a great big nugget right now. A lot of these sellers, obviously, they're living in the house. It's not vacant and they can't be out in 7 days. So what do? We go ahead and close and we give them 50% of their proceeds at closing. They can stay in the house rent free for whatever period of time that we both agree to. And then they get the other half of their proceeds when they vacate the property. Because you see, time kills deals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time kills deals.
Yeah. Right? No doubt. So these for sale by owners that you're working with, are these houses typically, you know, ready to go on the market? Or are, because they're living in them, so you have to assume that, you know, they're in all right condition. They're not bad. I was a huge REO broker out here in Illinois from 2009 when you ran into all that trouble to 2017. I was closing 40 deals a month, all REOs and short sales.
Nice.
So I'm kind of in line with you in that time period and what was going on and everything. But, you know, the houses I was selling, many of them were vacant. I mean, I remember one house in Joliet, Illinois. I opened the door by going like this and the door fell open. Woo! And then I walked in and I looked at the blue sky up through the roof. And somebody bought that house for $11,000, ripped it down and built something else there. And, you know, the rest is history, right? But with your houses, when you're talking to a for sale by owner, maybe he's having a little bit of problem trying to get the house sold for whatever reason, and you're pitching them on all this, is their house typically, like, I'm going to suggest that most of these houses are not full rehabs or anything like that. They may be, you know, just light rehabs without any major things going on. So is that the case with these houses?
That's a great question, Larry. It's all over the board. And I'll give you an example. Just a few months ago, I was contacted by a for sale by owner. It was a oceanfront condominium on the third floor. You look, you get in this condo, it looks like you're on a cruise ship looking out over the Atlantic Ocean. And here's the deal. It was an inherited condominium. The owner was the son. He lived out of state. Both of his parents had passed away. And it was going to sell on the courthouse steps in 2 weeks in foreclosure. And we went and looked at it. Oh, my lands. This beautiful condo only needed $11,000 to make it look brand new. All we did was put new paint, a couple other things. It was totally furnished with luxurious furniture. And so bought it with private money for $425,000, did that $11,000 rehab, and in 45 days flipped it and sold it for $618,000. And after realtor fees and a little bit of private money interest, the net was $160,000. In contrast to that, we're finishing up a renovation right now on a single family house here on the mainland, here in Morehead City. That house, oh my lands, it was a wreck. I mean, it cost $4,000 just to get the junk out of the house.
Yeah.
Everything to the ceiling. And so so those are two extremes.
It's all over the board.
So it just depends. It just depends.
Yeah, hear ya. So here's the $64,000 question. I know any investor is going to ask you, or anybody that's looking to get into this, like you're doing it, particularly with for sale by owners. Now you're in, did you say Morgan City?
Morehead City, North Carolina.
Morehead City, okay. How do you find, now you could find for sale by owners all over the place on the internet and whatever. How do you find these for sale by owners in Morehead City and the surrounding areas, and convince them that this makes sense for them?
Yeah, this is a beautiful question. So there's two types of marketing primarily. And of course, Larry, I'm not telling you anything. You've been around the block and you know all about marketing. But for everyone that's listening, there's primarily two ways to market, to talk with for sale by owners that might be motivated. Either A, you reach out to them, or B, they reach out to you. So how can you reach out to them? Well, we've done outbound texting, outbound calling, direct mail, etc. And then you got, they reach out to you. Well, how do they reach out to you? My favorite way for them to reach out to us is for them to go on the internet, on Google, in the search engine, and look for us, the investor that can buy their house and solve their problem. So I have five different Google pay-per-lead vendors that I use. And so I'm not pay-per-click. Pay-per-click means me and my staff would be doing Google ads myself.
Right.
But a pay-per-lead means I'm paying a company to do all the work. And then I'll pay on average $200 to get a name and a phone number and maybe an email address and a physical address of people in our area that are motivated to sell. What I love about that, Larry, is that it's a lot easier to talk to somebody that's not a cold call. It's a lot easier to talk to somebody that says, hey, I want to talk to you about selling my house. So they're looking for us. So my favorite way to find motivated sellers off market houses are they are having Google ads. They look for us. And now it's a very, very warm phone call when you get them on the phone, because this way we are a welcomed guest to that conversation and not a menacing pest for the cold call.
Sure. They're warmed up. And so do these companies warm these people up for you? They say, hey, Jay's going to be calling you tomorrow. Or are these just names and phone numbers you're getting where you're hopping on a call and calling them? You've never talked to them before. They're not expecting your call.
Yeah. Great question. As we said, time kills deals. So when they go on the internet and they fill out the form of, yes, I want to sell my house. Here's why I want to sell. Here's my motivation. And they click submit. As soon as they hit submit on the website, then immediately my full-time acquisitionist and my lead manager, my seller lead manager, I got a full-time 40-hour a week lead manager. They are immediately texted and called. The phone is calling and you hit the numeral one. And now guess what? We're calling them immediately. So they most of the time answer the phone because they just hit the submit button and we say, hey, we just got notification that you visited our website and you've got a house for sale here in the Morehead City or Newport area. Is that right? And they say, yeah, they're blown away because we're on it like white on rice. They just did this. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. So that, and I want to stress that these are not pay per click leads.
Correct.
These are pay per lead. So you're working with a third party company that's actually doing the advertising.
Yes.
And then they, when they click on that lead, your form is going to come up. They're going to fill out that form and you're going to call them immediately once you get that form as a, in the form of a text message in your e-box, whatever.
Yep, that's it. And here's what's interesting. Depending on the vendor, because some have got better leads than others, depending on the vendor, we only need 10 to 15 of those leads to buy a house. And our average profits right now are $87,000 per single family house flip here in our area. And so if you're paying $200 a lead, and let's say it took 15 leads to get it, how many $3,000 would you pay to make $87,000 in return? As many as you can.
So here's the big question. All these people that you're talking to, and we know some of them, like the last one, it was going to go into foreclosure. Mom and dad passed away. They inherited the house. They got to make some decisions quickly. What, when you're talking to these for sale by owners or motivated sellers that are looking to potentially sell their home, what are you finding are like the top three reasons why somebody will reach out to you instead of just, you know, I'm a real estate broker, title agent, instead of just reaching out to someone like me and saying, hey, Larry, come here and sell my house?
Typically, there's something wrong with the house that was caused by a number of reasons. For some reason, they cannot maintain the house. And if they put it in the metal ballistic, I mean, a lot of them just are embarrassed. They're just quite frankly embarrassed. And they don't want anybody coming out there, you know, a realtor looking at it to, you know, list it. So there's all kinds of reasons that people run out of money. Lost a job, somebody died, as we said, inherited, a divorce, lost a job, as I said, et cetera, health problems. It's just all over the board. You know, I was talking to one of my mastermind members that's in my community. I was talking with him yesterday. His name's Todd. He's in Clayton, North Carolina. And he went out to visit with this individual that's facing foreclosure. And the house is in good condition. House is not in bad condition, but his wife died, and he, the owner of the house, his wife died a year ago, and he's been so depressed. He can't get out of bed. He can't go to work. The property is in okay shape, but he's just had his head in the ground because he's not been able to deal and cope with the passing of his loved one. And so here comes Todd with a solution to give him some money, help him. I mean, there's a wide margin here between what's owed on the property and what, you know, it's worth. So Todd's able to be sympathetic. And you know, this fellow had a lot of other people reach out to him. And the only thing they were interested in was the numbers. And you know what? People don't care until you show them your care. And so Todd met this gentleman where he was in his state and offered, you know, and had empathy and didn't even get into the numbers until he understood and heard the story of this person that was in distress. You see, most of these, not most, all the for sale by owner properties that we buy, either the person themselves are in distress or the property's in distress or both.
And that's probably your first question. What prompted you to call me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, our first question, the scripting that I have for my members, the first question we ask is, well, please tell me about your situation and what it is you're looking for and how I could possibly serve you. Mm-hmm. Well, you see, that's such a wide open question. They might talk about the property. They might talk about their personal situation. And whatever they talk about is their motivating factor. And that's what we want to come back around to and speak to them as to that's the thing that we can provide you a solution with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think what I've seen in a lot of these situations, Jay, is it comes down to a couple of things, time and money. So what are you lacking? Are you lacking time because this thing is going into foreclosure, probate, whatever? Or are you lacking money because the house needs so much work? I don't have it to put into the house to get it in marketing condition that I need it in order to sell it at the price that would make sense. So if one of those two things are causing them distress, I think that's what's going to be their motivation for moving forward.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I was looking at the notes I had here. And one of the things I'm curious about is how do you get three big checks for every house for every deal you're going to do? Explain that. And yeah, I'm interested in that.
Sure. So how do you get multiple checks on every transaction you do with private money? And this is regardless as to whether you're flipping it or you're buying and holding it to sell on rent to own or what have you. So the first check you're going to get when using private money, as I mentioned, you always get a check from your closing agent, your title company, your real estate attorney, whoever's doing your closing. Here in North Carolina, it's all real estate attorneys that do closings. But anyway, when you purchase the property, you're going to get a big check. So how does that work? Well, particularly if the house needs renovation or rehabbing, you're going to be buying that property at a discounted price. So let me give you an example on this first check. Let me use small numbers because small numbers are easy to understand and keep up with. So let's say that I'm looking to buy a single family house with an after repaired value, not as is value, an after repaired value. And my definition of after repair means absolutely beautiful, drop dead, everything's new, new paint, mm-hmm. It smells brand new, it's staged looking like ready for Southern Living magazine pictures and all that. So let's say it's got an after repaired value of $200,000, for example. Now, let's say it needs $30,000, for example, in renovation or rehab. Well, I buy properties like that all the time at 50% of the after repair value or less, 30 to 50%. So if it's a $200,000 after repair value, I'm going to buy that house all day long between $80,000 and $100,000 all cash with private money. So I can borrow, according to my criteria, I can borrow up to 75% of the after repaired value. I didn't say 75% of purchase price. That's old conventional bank talk. I'm talking 75% of the after repaired value. That means I can borrow up to $150,000 of the $200,000 after repaired value. That's 75% of the after repaired value. Well, follow the money. Follow the money. When you go to the closing table to purchase the property, you're buying it for $100,000. Your private lender, or maybe you got a couple of private lenders, but your private lender is going to wire to your closing agent $150,000 at the time you close. So you got $150,000 sitting there for the closing. $100,000 of it's going to go to the seller. That leaves a $50,000 check called excess cash to close. And I love me some excess cash. So that $50,000 excess cash to close is going to come to me, the buyer, less, of course, whatever closing cost. So here I've got a big check of $50,000 in that example. Now, I'm going to use the majority of that money to renovate the house. I'm going to use $30,000 of it in our example to renovate it. What am I going to do with the other $20,000? Well, I can use that other $20,000 for making payments to the private lender if the private lender is requiring payments and they don't want to accrue the interest. Carrying cost, taxes, utilities, cutting the grass, whatever. And so then that's my first big check, right? When I bought the property. Now, if you're not selling it creatively, say on rent to own or lease purchase, and you're just flipping it. You're just flipping it. And you're getting it ready for sale and you're going to put it in the multiple listing service. By the way, I've been doing business with the same realtor for 20 years, Chris Latham with Realty World. He's going to list it in the multiple listing service. I'm not a realtor on purpose. I let Chris handle all that. So we're going to put it in the multiple listing service for $200,000, assuming it hasn't gone up in value. So it's put it in for $200,000. Now I still owe my private lender $150,000 because that's what I borrowed, and I don't make principal and interest payments. It either accrues interest or we make interest only payments. So now I go to sell it. I'm going to sell it for $200,000. I still owe $150,000. So $150,000 goes to my private lender when I'm selling it. That leaves me $50,000 when I'm selling it, less the realtor fee. My realtor fee, I pay 5%. So $10,000 is going to go to Chris Latham. So now I'm left with $40,000 minus some, you know, some closing costs. So I got $40,000 there left over when I cashed out. Maybe I've only got $10,000 left over from when I bought it on that excess cash. So I'm going to keep in my pocket $50,000 in this example. So I got a big check when I bought it. I still got a big check when I sell it. And a third check could be if I sold it on rent to own or lease purchase instead of putting it in the multiple listing service. So if I sell it on rent to own or lease purchase, I will collect what's called a large non-refundable option fee from the rent-to-own buyer. That could be $10,000 or $15,000. They move in the house. I help them in credit repair. And then we help them move towards cash out. And so I got it. In that example, there's three checks. I got a check when I bought. I got a check when I sold it on rent-to-own. And then I get another check when they're mortgage ready to cash out.
And just to clarify this, when you're paying that private money investor back that 150, you're paying them back that 150 plus 8% annual interest, correct?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. And sometimes they will opt out to not just let the interest accrue, get that 150 plus interest once you exit the deal. Or you may be paying them that 8% interest monthly. It's correct. Just depending on how you're going to structure that.
That's right. And you know what? As far as how often a private lender gets their interest payments or whether it's accrued, I leave that up to them because, you know, every private lender's got a different objective. Some private lenders, they need the monthly income because it's maybe they're using the retirement funds. They don't want to touch the principal, but they want income coming in, you know. So I could be paying monthly. I could be paying quarterly. I could be paying semi-annually. Or if I'm flipping, I could just let it accrue and then pay them off their principal loan amount and the accrued interest when we cash out.
So when you're flipping a property, let's say my experience has been from the time we purchase a property, and it might be different here in Chicago. You know, real estate's all local, right? So it might be different in Chicago than in North Carolina. I know purchasing real estate in North Carolina is very, very different than purchasing here, your due diligence fees and all that. I mean, you got to know you want a house when you're putting your due diligence fee down on a property in North Carolina, because you could lose that money if you back out of that deal after the home inspection.
That's right.
It's very different here in Illinois. That never happens. So it's just, it's all local. And I'm curious, with that being said, with it being all local, is 8% a good interest rate across the board? I mean, would that be a good interest rate for me to offer, or for someone like me to offer private money investors here? And do you give them any kind of incentive for, you know, that they want the deal to make more money and they're not just waiting for their 8% and all this? Is there some way to incentivize them? Hey, if we could get this deal closed sooner, you'll get an extra 0.5% or something like that. Do you ever do anything like that?
Yeah, I've never had to incentivize my private lenders. My mastermind members that are in my community, they all offer 8% and they're all across the country. I got mastermind members in Hawaii, California, Texas, Alabama, Kentucky, Florida, Wisconsin, Chicago. Chaffee's his name. Anyway, they're all over and they all pay 8% on first position, and they pay 10% if there's a junior lien, like a private lender in a junior position that's only doing $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 for, you know, renovations. And we've all been doing it the same since 2009. And one question I get, Larry, is, Jay, how in the world have you been able to pay your private lenders the same interest rate ever since 2009, and the market's been all over the place, up and down, you know. Prior to COVID, the average 12-month certificate of deposit in the local bank got down to 0.17%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just as recent as last week, I was at First Citizens Bank here on Bridges Street in Morehead City, and they're offering 3.75%. right now, not 0.17. So they say, Jay, how can you be paying 8% the whole time? There's two big reasons. The first reason is, guess what? We get to make the rules, right? Remember? Right. We make the rules. We make the rules. The second reason is 8% is a whole lot more money than 0.17. And 8% is a whole lot more money than 3.75%. Mm-hmm. And it's not unsecured. It's backed by the real estate in a very conservative position. So the question is, where else can they go and get 8% or 10% in second position? Where can they go get those returns with it being backed by real estate, having a mortgage or a deed of trust, you know, backing that note? They don't know anywhere else to go, right?
Do you typically have on your deals, is there typically just one investor involved in each deal, or are there two investors involved, one of them in second position? Because that's a key, that's something very key to this, in that the person giving you $300,000 to do this deal, they're in first position on that title. So if that thing goes south, that property is theirs.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
What about somebody in second position, though?
Yeah, in second position, if the deal goes south, the only way they can be made whole is if they foreclose, then they've got to inherit that lien in first position. And so all of my private lenders, as I said, they never heard of private money or private lending until I told them about it. So here's the deal. At the end of the day, they are real. I mean, when you've taught somebody, now, you know, there's three categories of private lenders: people that never heard of it, in your own connections. And then I teach how to expand your connections very, very quickly, because they're, your net worth is correlated to your network. But then there's a third category of private lenders, and those are existing private lenders. Those are individuals that are already loaning money out to real estate investors. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? With them people, you're not going to put on your teacher hat. They already know.
They know.
They already know what the deal is. So you're not making the rules in that conversation. That's a negotiation conversation, right? Because they're used to the game. So anyway, back to your question. At the end of the day, these private lenders are really not investing in your deals. They're really investing in you, is what they're doing. They're really investing in you. They're trusting you with their money. You're backing it by real estate, but they are trusting you to take care of them. That's why even when there's two private lenders on a deal being backed by the same property, we have this thing called total loan to value, which of course, you, Larry, you knew all about that. But total loan to value means, let's use that same example of an after repaired value of $200,000. I'm not going to borrow more than $150,000. Well, I could have a private lender in first position with $100,000. I could have another private lender in second position with $50,000. So now I'm going to add both of those notes together. $100,000 plus $50,000 equals $150,000 divided by $200,000. Now we have a total loan to value percentage of still 75%. So yes, even though we give the private lenders in junior position their own promissory note and their own deed of trust, they are counting on you to look after them.
Right. Absolutely. So we've talked about interest rates. We've talked about, you know, how to find these private money lenders. Often they're within your own sphere. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're already private money lenders. So we've talked about that, but what are, in, as far as the terms go, the length of these, of that term. So if I give you $200,000 and you're flipping this home in Moorhead, and like I was alluding to a little earlier, what I found here in Chicago when we would flip a home, depending, of course, on the amount of work that needs to be done, and of course, you're dealing with contractors and everything else and all that. And we know how that can go sometimes, but how long does it take you to flip a house once you acquire it? Cause I have found that you could be looking at 4 to 6 months, depending on, you know, what's up. And others we've flipped in 45 days that only needed paint and whatever, boom, throw it back on the market. And as long as it's priced right and you're checking off all the right boxes, you're going to sell it pretty quick and it's going to be a quick exit. But it could be a 6 month process. So how do you approach that with your investors?
That's right. So it depends on where they're getting the money from. So I just have a standard program across the board. If they're using liquid investment capital and it's their own money, I just set up the note for 2 years. I'm probably not going to use the money for 2 years. I'm probably going to pay them off early. Or a lot of times, Larry, I'll substitute the collateral. They'll have their money with me. They don't want the money back. They never want the money back, because if they get the money back, they're not making any money, right? So if I pay them off early, which normally I do, then we'll substitute the collateral for the next deal if I've got one ready to go. If they're using retirement funds, I'll just set the note for 5 years. On those, I might sell that on rent to own. It might take a while longer for it to cash out. But again, I've just got that set in my program. That way we don't even have to think about it. There's no negotiation. We're going to do a 2-year note if you're using liquid investment capital. We're going to do a 5-year note if you're using retirement funds. But I have a way for them to get their money back early if they have an emergency. So I put in the promissory note what's called a 90-day call option for the lender, which means for any reason, doesn't matter, if they need their money back prior to the note coming due or me paying them off, all they got to do is give me a 90-day notice. Hey, I need to call the note due. That gives me plenty of time to replace their private money with another one of my private lender's money for that property. And I don't charge any penalty. I could, but I don't charge any penalty. And you know what? Ever since 2009, Larry, I've only had two small notes called due. And both of those were because of medical issues that were going on. But it really gives the private lenders a peace of mind when I put a 90-day call option in the note. They know they've got a way out if something comes up.
Yeah, I love that, because really what this is about is, you know, when someone's giving you their money to invest, like you said, they're buying you. They're not buying that piece of real estate. And when you could let them know, hey, on top of that, if you need your money back for medical purposes or anything else that comes up that you didn't foresee coming down the pike here, and you need that money back, all you have to do is give me a 90-day notice that you need that back. You get that replaced through another private money lender. They get their money back. And not only have you, you know, helped them through a difficult situation that they didn't see coming, but that probably even, you know, makes them a more reliable partner for you in the future. Because now they're saying, hey, look at Jay. You know, look at this. I needed that money back. He got it back to me.
That's exactly right. And I'm so glad you used the word partner. Even though we're not joint venturing with our private lenders, they're not sharing in the equity. They are the bank. They're getting a straight interest rate. But we really are in partnership as far as looking after their needs, keeping them informed as to, you know, what's going on. And, you know, the best way they love to keep informed as to what's going on is checks in the mail, not on time, but early.
Yeah, yeah. So I love all this, Jay. And I think, you know, not only are you helping people out there that need this service for one reason or another, but you're helping investors and probably a lot of people that would never have thought about this, you know, get into this type of investing, passive real estate investing, where you're not getting calls in the middle of the night to fix a hot water heater or anything else. And it's guaranteed by real estate. So I think it's a win-win on both angles here. How do people get in touch with Jay Connor if they want to get involved in your mastermind program, if they want to learn from you how to do this?
Thank you for asking, Larry. I've got a gift for your audience, Larry.
Oh, we love gifts.
So my recent best-selling book is called Where to Get the Money Now. Where to Get the Money Now. Subtitle is Where and How to Get Money for Your Real Estate Deals Without Relying on Banks, Any Kind of Institutional Money, or Hard Money Lenders. So we haven't talked about hard money lenders. Some of them are my best friends in the world, but this isn't hard money. This is about doing business with individuals. So this is not an ebook. This is an actual book. It's $20 on Amazon, but let me just give you the book for free. If you'll just cover shipping, I'll 3-day express it to you through the United States Postal Service. I'll autograph it for you, and you can get my book at jayconnor.com, and I'm an ER, not an OR. So go to jayconnor.com, jayconnor.com/book. Again, that's jayconnor, jayconnor.com/book. And I'll rush that out to you. In addition to that, come check out my podcast. We've got 800 episodes now. This is our eighth year in the podcast. And the name of my podcast is, shockingly, Raising Private Money. Raising Private Money with Jay Connor. Easy to find. I'm always interviewing other people that raise private money for their real estate deals. And we get into their brains and their minds and interview them about what are their strategies. How do they go about raising private money without ever having to ask for money?
That's awesome, Jay. And if people want to just shoot you a quick email or something, what's a good way they can do that? Where can they reach you best?
You know what? I just love to talk to people. Let me give you my phone number. I mean, can you believe I love to talk to people, right? So here's my phone number, 252-808-2927. 252-808-2927. And when you go to jayconnor.com, you can email me from the website as well.
And remember, that's with an E. I had to correct that a couple times. C-O-N-N-E-R, jconner.com. And Jay, this has been awesome. I mean, what a great bunch of content and information for people out there. I'll shoot you a, you know, the video of this. If you want to use it and repurpose it in any of your content, please feel free to do that. And we look forward to having you on again. This has been great.
I'd love to come back, Larry. Thank you so much for having me. God bless you.
Yeah, same to you, Jay. Stay warm over there in North Carolina.
Hey, I got my hoodie on today.
All right, Jay, I'll see you.
See you.
Bye. All right, everybody. That was Jay Conner, the Private Money Authority. And Jay is a great guy. And what a great way of getting into real estate investing without using your own money in a passive way where you're not getting calls in the middle of the night to fix a hot water heater or, you know, anything else that may come up. And this is just a great way to invest in real estate without driving the bus, but just being a passenger on the bus, if you will. So we thank Jay for joining us here today. And I want to talk about something real quick before we go, and that is listing agent advantage. If you're a real estate agent in Illinois and you're primarily a listing agent, or whenever you have listings that come on the market, I want to talk to you about listing agent advantage. Because when you partner with At Home Title Services and listing agent advantage specifically, you are going to save your clients a boatload of money. So all you need to do is go to listingagentadvantage.com. If you want to partner with us, you just scroll down to where it says at the very bottom of the page, partner with us, and just click on that. Enter in your information, and we'll call you, explain the entire program with you. It is absolutely free for real estate agents in Illinois to partner with us. And partnering with us means you get to really up your value proposition and improve your value proposition with all of your sellers in two specific ways. One, we are going to provide top real estate attorneys and closing services for your sellers at no cost. Now, that's typically anywhere from a $550 savings all the way up to a $1,000 savings. In addition to that, your clients are also going to get a 10% discount on their owner's title policy. Now, most sellers don't know, and I'll take a guess, a lot of real estate agents don't know that next to real estate commissions, the title costs are the most expensive part of closing for sellers. So they're going to get their real estate closing attorney and title services at no cost, plus 10% off of their owner's policy. This is going to save all of your sellers a guaranteed minimum of $1,000 when it comes to their closing cost expenses. That's a big deal. I've never seen anybody walk away from $1,000 in savings. So if this is something you're interested in and you want to find out more about it, as a matter of fact, I'm hopping on a webinar where a bunch of realtors are going to be on shortly. We're going to tell them all about this. But if you're interested in finding out more about this, just go to listingagentadvantage.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page, click on partner with us. And if you have a listing right now that's under contract and you're looking to save your clients some money, just click on create order, create the order, enter in the information you need to enter in, send us the contract, and we are off to the races and your client's going to save a ton of money. Hey, everybody, I just want to thank everybody for joining us today. I want to thank Jay for joining us. Great conversation with Jay. Be sure to reach out to him if you're interested in getting involved with his mastermind program or just finding out more about how Jay can help you get involved with some passive real estate investing. And you guys, it was awesome, really awesome talking with all of you today. And we will be back next Thursday with some more great content. And we'll talk more about the real estate market on the Real Estate Radio Show. We'll talk to you guys.
Thanks for joining us on Real Estate Radio with your host, Larry Shagman, the real estate therapist and top producing broker. Now go to TrustedAgentUSA.com and save thousands when you sell, buy, or invest. Illinois license number 475-145-795. Tune in next week for the ultimate real estate radio experience.